comes to us from the Gospel according to Matthew, from chapter 4. This is really the beginning of the Gospel. Chapter 4, beginning with verse 12. When Jesus got word that John had been arrested, he returned to Galilee. He moved from his hometown Nazareth to the lakeside village Capernaum, nestled at the base of Zebulun and the Naphtali hills. This move completed Isaiah's sermon. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, road to the sea over Jordan, Galilee, crossroads for the nations. People sitting out their lives in the dark saw a huge light. Sitting in the dark, dark country of death, they watched the sun come up. This Isaiah prophesied sermon came to life in Galilee the moment Jesus started preaching. He picked up where John left off. Change your life. God's kingdom is here. Walking along the beach of Lake Galilee, Jesus saw two brothers, Simon, later called Peter, and Andrew. They were fishing, throwing their nets into the lake. It was their regular work. Jesus said to them, "Come with me. I'll make a new kind of fisherman out of you. I'll show you how to catch men and women instead of perch and bass." They didn't ask questions, but simply dropped their nets and followed. A short distance down the beach, they came upon another pair of brothers, James and John, Zebedee's sons. These two were sitting in a boat with their father, Zebedee, mending their fish nets. Jesus made the same offer to them, and they were just as quick to follow, abandoning boat and father. From there, he went all over Galilee. He used synagogues for meeting places and taught people the truth of God. God's kingdom was his theme, that beginning right now, they were under God's government, a good government. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, it has been said that the only people who really like change are infants. You have to think about that a minute, right? Betsy and I have often thought, moving several years ago to the Wake Forest area, we've kind of lamented that, you know, once we moved there, we've kind of wished that they would quit building houses all around us. We learned a few months ago that they're going to be building a development with something like 2,500 houses in it, just down the road from us. Got to thinking, all those cars and all those people. You may have read recently, as I did, that in Chatham County, near Pittsburgh, they are contemplating building something like 22,000 houses. Can you imagine population of Pittsburgh changing from 1,500 to 62,000? This is a surprise. You know, some people don't like the idea. Really? Moving to Dunn, we have had a good time getting used to life in a slower lane here. It's wonderful to just walk around the neighborhood and, you know, every once in a while you see a car. You know, not too often. It's wonderful living in a town where people actually know each other and have known for a long time. Jesus came to tell people about a whole new community, a whole new world, where everything would be different. And this passage that I read to you begins with John the Baptist, who stopped preaching. He was imprisoned. And it was only after he was imprisoned that Jesus started teaching. And you know why they threw him in jail? Do you know why they threw John the Baptist in jail? Because some of them didn't like what he was saying. That's why. It's amazing that at the very moment Jesus started preaching, at that same moment that Peter and John and James and Nathaniel and all the other disciples began to follow him, at that same time, there were countless numbers of people who wanted to do away with John. And it wasn't too long at all before the people in those same synagogues that Jesus went to and preached the gospel, it wasn't long at all until they didn't like what he was saying. You may recall the gospel account of when Jesus went to his hometown Nazareth and preached in the kingdom, in the synagogue. And that day, we're told that when he got to a certain point in his sermon, the people got so upset with him that they pushed him outside to the edge of the city and they wanted to throw him off a cliff and kill him. It says that he just walked through them as if protected by unseen angels. The first day that he went to his hometown to preach, he grew up there. But when he went there to preach, they wanted to throw him off the cliff. Jesus said, "I did not come to earth to bring peace." He said, "I did not come to earth to bring peace, but a sword." Because of my preaching, Jesus said, households will be divided. Husband against wife, wife against husband, sons against father, daughters against mother. He said, "You will be hated by all nations because of me." Now, that doesn't quite set too well with us, does it? We don't think about Jesus as coming to bring conflict, do we? Where's this gentle Jesus, meek and mild, that we see in the pictures, we see in stained glass? The Jesus we see holding a sheep, holding a lamb, is not the same Jesus who said, "I came to bring a sword." Why? Why would Jesus do that? This account gives us some insight. We're told in this scripture that according to Isaiah, that those who sat in darkness would see a marvelous light. We're told that when he went to Peter, to James, to John, to others, he said, "Come and follow me." We're told that they immediately got up right that moment, walked away from their father, from their nets, from their livelihoods, just like that. They got up and followed him. Now, why is it that there were those like the disciples who got up right away and followed him, and then there were others who wanted to kill him? Why is that? I'll tell you why. It's only infants who really like change. You see, you cannot be neutral when it comes to the message of God to change. Because what Jesus teaches us, if we will open these pages and look at them, is a radically new, different way of living. A different way of dealing with people. You know, he said, "If somebody takes your coat, give them your shirt also." He said, "If somebody hits you on one cheek, turn the other." Oh, that'll put the lawyers out of business, won't it? I didn't hear any of them say amen. I'm just kidding. That is not how we think, is it? That's not how we think at all. You know, he said things like, "You've heard it said that you shall not kill. But I say to you, if you have hatred against another, you're guilty of murder. You've heard it said that you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, if you look at a woman with lust, you've committed it already." He said, "Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the best Jew you know, unless you are more righteous than the teachers of the law, and unless you are better than the best person you know, you will never enter the kingdom of God." He said, "It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And by the standards of wealth in that day and time, all of us would be excluded. Jesus said things that leave us dumbfounded and aghast if we really think about it. And so people reacted In some cases, by leaving everything to follow Him, and in other cases, by wanting to destroy Him. And what made the difference? Any of you done any fishing? Who here likes to fish? Raise your hand. Okay. How would you like to spend the rest of your life living with the smell of fish, though? Day in and day out. Huh? Would you like that? I mean, it's one thing to go fishing, but it'd be another thing to live with the fish all the time, with the smell of fish, dead fish, everywhere you go. I've heard it said that, you know, they talk about the difficult jobs. When they rate jobs according to how awful they are, do you know, in all the polls that are taken, when they rate the toughest job, the worst job to have, do you know what job in this day and time rates as the absolutely worst job that you can have? Do you know what it is? Commercial fishermen. Commercial fishermen. When they rate jobs from best to worst, the worst job, they say, that you can have is a commercial fisherman. Now, that's not a pleasure fisherman, but a commercial fisherman. That's what they say. You know, I think that these disciples, I think it's no coincidence that the first disciples Jesus called were fishermen. Because if they had been thrilled with fishing, if they had loved fishing, if James and John had loved their father more than anything, it would have been a lot harder for them to leave their nets and their father and walk away. They weren't happy. They couldn't have been completely content with their lives to get up that easy and go on. The people who attacked Jesus, the people who wanted to get rid of Him, were the ones whose lives felt most threatened by this new way of life that He was offering. And that is why the message of Jesus causes division everywhere it goes. Because for those who don't like the life that they've got, they're ready to embrace the life Jesus offers. For those who are happy with the life that they have, it's a lot harder to think about leaving it. And so the message of Jesus causes division everywhere it goes. Not because He wants us to be divided, not at all. But because the Scripture, the Word of God, reads us. The Word of God searches us. The Word of God tests our motives. It examines our thoughts. And we have to make a decision. Every single one of us have to make a decision. Are we gonna turn to God and say, "Lord, be merciful to me. I'm a sinful man. Forgive me. Help me to change. Change my wanter on the inside. Help me to want the right things. I don't like who I am. I want to become what You want me to be." Or the alternative is we cut and paste and pick and choose the comforting Scriptures we like, and we find a way to conveniently ignore the ones that make us uncomfortable or challenge us. And that's the other option we have. We want a gentle Jesus, meek and mild, but we don't want to listen to the Jesus who calls us to follow Him. Who calls us to lay aside our rights, our wants. Who calls us to be willing to lay aside our hopes and dreams, our plans for the future. Who calls us to consider what we do with what we call ours. Who calls us to come into question our friends and who they are and why we choose them. Who calls us to the poor and needy and those who aren't like us. Who calls us to change. You know, we either call upon Him and ask us to change us from the inside out, to make us the person He wants us to be, or we try to justify ourselves. So we react the same way they did. If Jesus were alive and among us today, most of us wouldn't want to have much to do with Him. Because He wouldn't allow us to remain comfortable the way we are. There were only a few who followed him. I love the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John chapter 6, at the beginning of that chapter, Jesus serves a meal to 6,000 men besides women and children. By the end of that chapter, he turns to the 12 disciples and he says, "Are you going to abandon me also?" In other words, Jesus goes from 12,000 to 12 in 24 hours. And do you know why? Because he asked them to change. As long as he was feeding them what they wanted, as long as he was giving them bread and making them happy, 12,000 followed him. Once he asked them to change, 11,988 walked away, and 12 stayed. Which one are we? Which of those are we? That is the question that the Word of God asks every one of us this morning. Who are we? Which one are we? Would you pray with me? Dear God, I have to confess that every day You challenge me. The choices I make, the words that I say, the things that I do with my time, what I choose to love, what I choose to read, what I choose to watch, where I choose to go. Every day, who You are and what You say challenges me. I find that I cannot read Your Word. I can't think about what You say and remain in apathy. Your Word haunts me. Because I know that like everybody else who has ever been born, lived, and died, one day I will be judged by every word that I have known You to say. I'll be held accountable. And that's why You tell us, Father, that on the day of judgment there will be great, great wailing and gnashing of teeth. This is why You come to us now, because You tell us. What You tell us is that if we will turn now, and if we will repent and turn away from our own ways, that we will have great joy in that world. But if we choose not to, if we choose to embrace our life here and try to justify ourselves every time Your Word would convict us, that on that day we will have great sorrow. Lord, help us to listen. Help us to pay attention to what You tell us. Make us truly citizens of Your kingdom, so that we will not fear the age to come. For this world is ending. This age is winding down. We are killing our oceans, polluting our air, filling our landfills. We're killing each other. We're making a wreck and havoc of our nations, our world, and our homes. This world is winding down. It is only Your coming kingdom that will last forever. Lord, help us not to become too comfortable with this place and with its ways of living, for they're passing away. And only those who embrace You and Your new way of living will have a future home. Change us, Father. Change us from the inside out before the time comes when it's too late. We remember that they lived and did what they want, and then in one day, Your judgment fell on Sodom and Gomorrah. We remember that for 40 years, those that You called to follow You wandered in the wilderness. And in the end, only two walked into the land that You had promised, because only two embraced Your ways. Lord, help us. Help us to be those who are wise and who embrace You now. We might live and reign with You forever and ever. These things.